latest news is the new Tagline, starring Roy Hart with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet.
Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the show. And it's been another week dominated by immigration, eh? Edward Heath has been rocking Margaret Thatcher's boat. Mind you, he was the one who did the nastiest thing to the immigrants, wasn't he? He let them in, poor devils, you know. Anyway, it looks as if this immigration thing has done Margaret Thatcher a bit of good, eh? It's given her an 11% lead in the polls, yeah? Jim Callaghan's furious. It breaks his 10% guidelines. Last week we heard of Jim's blacklist. Now it turns out he's got a whitelist as well. Yeah, if he lists any more, he's going to fall over, isn't he?
I like it.
What else has been happening, eh? Not a lot in this weather, I can tell you. We've been snowed up. I don't mind the snow, really, for a start. It makes my garden look as good as everybody else's. But the house is freezing, I tell you, mate. I said to my missus, I said, now, any chance of getting a fire going? She said, no, there's a bucket of sand in every room. And Princess Anne's got domestic problems, too. She's had to get a new cook. Mark just wasn't good enough, you know. But while we're on the subject of royalty, I see Harold Wilson's in the headlines again. Eh? You see, his bank statement was found in the street. Yes, outside a restaurant by a Chinese waiter. He realised what all the numbers were just in time. He was about to make it up into a giant chop suey. And Paul Raymond's been in the news as well. You know, the bloke who runs those review bars, he's been branching out a bit and sponsoring football. Well, I suppose the old sex shows have had their day now. There's been this clampdown on pornography. There's been so much about it lately, I thought I'd better go and have a look at some of these sex films, you know, just to see what everybody's on about. Well, I was appalled, honestly. I was so shocked I could hardly stay to the end of the fourth programme. It was awful. While we're on the subject, have you been reading about this guy who lives on the moors, who's just fathered his 20th kid, eh? Yeah, I thought you would have read it. 20 kids by two women, eh? And they say he's unemployed. No, it's true. They say the two women live on either side of Bodmin Moor, and he does a shuttle service between them, you know. True, he used to be a civil servant and couldn't get out of the habit of doing things in duplicate. Oh, it is my favourite report of the week, though. Statistics show that the richer you are, the longer you live, eh? Which reminds me, I must send a birthday card to Lou Grade. He's 217 tomorrow. And talking of cards, it was Valentine's Day this week, eh? I thought I'd get my wife something with diamonds in, you know, I sent her a pack of cards. But the Valentine card of this week must be the one Maggie Thatcher got from Edward Heath, eh? On the front, there's a heart with a bullet through it. And inside it said, "Dear Maggie, I would send you flowers, if 'twere not for one reason. They're so expensive, and besides, deadly nightshades out of season."
And now, here is the headline, Open Wine.
Can we have the first caller, please?
Look, this... This national health understaffing. When are we going to get more staff from our hospital? I just attended open heart surgery, but I had to reach for my own instruments, adjust the oxygen bottle, and even wipe my own brow.
Was the operation a success?
Oh, yes, I'm up and about now. Thank you.
Next caller, please.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Mudd. You know, it doesn't satisfy me at all, you know. Well, after all, it's only 5 1/4 inches long.
I'm sorry, I...
It's only 2 1/4 inches wide. It's not good enough.
What is it?
Well, the new pound note, you silly man.
Next caller, please.
Good evening. I have lived in England 6 years now. Every month I send money back to my wife. Money back to my wife and her mother in Pakistan. I've got both of them expecting to come to England, and I'm a very worried man.
Worried about them being refused entry?
No, worried about them being granted entry. Then.
Next caller, please.
Hello? Here are these oranges.
Yes?
I want to warn the public about a new danger to our health. Today I discovered some mercury in a thermometer.
Oh, that's quite all right, madam. Mercury in thermometers is absolutely harmless.
Thank God for that. Our little boy's just eaten one.
Next caller, please.
President Sadat here. I want to state that I recognize that Israel wants secure borders, and I have told them how to achieve this.
Really? How?
Lower the rent.
Next caller, please.
See, I'm that sort of groupie you've been reading about. And it's true what I've been saying, that some players are fantastic on the field, but useless in bed.
Well, what can you do about that?
Well, we'll just have to stick to the field, I suppose.
Next caller, please.
Harold.
Hello?
Honorable Japanese Prime Minister speaking. You'll be very happy to learn that my government decided to import lots more British Rayron cars.
Oh, running short of Datsuns, are you?
No, running short of scrap metal to make them with.
Next caller, please.
Hello. I was very interested in the survey to find the lowest paid workers in Britain.
Oh, but wait a minute. I mean, that was months ago.
I know. I've been saving up to make this call.
And now, over to Morning Cloud for a porthole political broadside from the Tory Party's answer to the Ancient Mariner's Albatross, Ted, Dentistry's answer to the Sydney Opera House, Heath.
Oh, tea's ready. Oh, I'm riding along, signing books on the train. Ahoy there, shipmates. Sailor of the century here. Let me begin by saying that I honestly believe that Thatcher's speech about immigration was a forthright speech, i.e. a fourth right and three quarters wrong. But let me stress that my anti-Thatcher speech to an audience of advertising men the other night was completely off the cuff. I should know I was up all night washing my shirt sleeves. Still, the man I really feel sorry for in all this immigration rumpus is the man in the middle, my old crewmate, Wobbly Willie Whitelaw. I always found him to be soft-hearted, loyal and dependable. The sort of man you could turn on in a crisis. But seriously, shipmate, I'd like to state unequivocally that Thatcher is the best woman leader the Tories have ever had. Yes, think about it. I have, I like it. As you know, I myself used to be leader of the Conservative Party. And this week, I read that it is now 3 years since Thatcher succeeded. But at what, I'd like to know. Recently, of course, there has been talk of yet another reconciliation between me and Thatcher. And you know, she's quite human underneath it all. At our last meeting, I was forced to say, Maggie, I shall never, ever join any cabinet of yours. And you know, a tiny tear ran down her cheek. Her shoulders heaved, and her whole body was wrecked by uncontrollable laughter. You know, shipmate, it's a funny thing. For many years, I spoke of the ugly and unacceptable face of capitalism. But it wasn't until I bumped into that woman again the other day that I realized who it belonged to. Anchors away.
Well, last week, in an attempt to fully outline an alleged indecency case, the High Court's judge took the entire courtroom down to Piccadilly's underground gents to view the scene of the crime. But is it really that easy to commandeer such public places?
Excuse me. Can I speak with the attendant?
You are.
Oh. I've just been sent by the police at the Old Bailey to arrange for a party from the court to come down here.
Oh. Well, certainly. Hang on. I'll just get the diary. Hang on.
You're not one of our regulars, are you?
No.
No, I thought I didn't recognise it. Here, take the bowl rat off the gratuities plate. I've got a living to earn, mate.
Sorry.
How many in this here party?
16. Only, you see, someone's alleged an offence down here, and the judge thought it best that the jurors and such should see the scene of the crime, so to speak.
Oh, very wise, Gov. Dad. Oh. When did you have this in mind,
Tomorrow afternoon. Do you have a luncheon recess?
Only this cubby hole we're in now, mate. It's all right if you keep your sandwiches covered up, you know, but now then... Let's have a look through it. I think tomorrow's book.
What do you mean, book?
Well, busy time of the year, isn't it, this, mate? I mean, let's see now, tomorrow. Here we are. Tomorrow afternoon, yes. I thought so. Booked by a punk rock band for a press reception.
Dad? Oh! Pretty busy in here, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I hadn't...
Well, you're always better to allow plenty of time. Here, look, have one of our brochures, here. Oh,
thank you.
Parties, banquets, coffee mornings, clandestine meetings with foreign politicians, hot and cold running buffets, sit-ins. We've got the lot here, mate. Graffiti in 11 languages and braille. Got awarded 3 bullcocks in the Sunday Love Guide, you know.
Well, I never.
Never? Get on.
Well, how about this afternoon?
This afternoon. Sorry, Squat. Oh, no, look, we can fit you in tomorrow morning.
Oh, good.
An hour, do you?
Yes.
Oh, great. Look, just here, 11 a.m, between the Leyland staff outing and the Bob Monkhouse script conference. Fit in. Well, I see that some Labour MPs, including Barbara Castle, have been drawing up an alternative budget to rival Dennis Healey's. They won't have much to beat, will they? I don't know, though, because they're at a serious disadvantage with the flowerpot man of politics on their side. The man born with a silver spade in his mouth. Where'd you been?
Well, anyway, he said I'll have a bowl of that noodle soup.
All right, Wedgie. No. I hereby convene this meeting of the Labour Party Home Affairs Committee. And we begin with an apology about absentees. I'm sorry Wedgie isn't one of them, no.
Oh, come on, comrades, let's have no bickering. Who was it who once said, "United we stand, divided we fall"?
I don't know, but he couldn't have been a member of the Labour Party, could he? No. No, Barbara.
Well, now, this alternative budget of ours, may I say that it is important that this budget works according to collectivist socialist principles and ignores privilege.
That's right, comrades. Remember, we must stick to the precepts of sociological and intellectual egalitarianism.
What do you mean, Wedgie?
I mean, Barbara, that you and I are equal to the lowliest and stupidest peasant in the land.
Well, you can't argue with that, can you? Well, I must say, Wedgie, you look a real socialist boy in your red socks, red trousers, red shirt and red tie.
Socialism, nothing. I cut myself shaving.
No. Well, of course, I hope we all realize that this radical budget of ours is bound to be violently opposed by Dennis Healey and Big Jim Callahan.
Oh, I'm not afraid of that great big fraud of pseudo-socialists. I'll show him.
Jim Callahan?
Where? Tell him I'm out. What?
Well, Wedge, you know he's never been the same since Jim made him take charge of our massive oil deposits.
What job is that?
Minister responsible for Michael Heseltine's combs. But let's get... Now, our first priority is to raise the tax exemption limit and really hit the wealthy.
The question is, how can we soak the rich?
Just send them these new tax forms I've prepared.
But how will they get soaked just by filling in tax forms?
Simple. I've slobbered all over them. Would you like one of these oranges? My constituents sent me these.
Die, be careful of them, Wedgie boy. They're all grey and contaminated.
I know. I don't like the look of the oranges much either.
Can we please get on, comrade?
Yes.
Now then, our next priority is to reflate the economy and pump money back into boosting social services. To do that, We reckon we need to raise an extra 4,000 million.
Oh, Lord.
Yes? Oh. Silly me, living in the past again.
Now, let's move on to education. Our proposal is that we phase out the public schools.
Well, that's all very well, but can you show me one solid argument for doing away with public schools?
Oh, I went to public school.
Thank you, that'll do nicely.
I didn't know Wedgie went to public school.
Oh, yes, common knowledge. You'll find it left out of any copy of Who's Who. Must admit, Wedgie, now, many Labour MPs feel that you effectively work against the interests of the Labour Party.
Whatever gives them that idea?
Well, for a start, that telegram on your wall which says, keep up the good work, love Maggie. You know, just next to the motto, your motto. If it moves, nationalize it. If it doesn't, it has been.
Oh, absolute rubbish. As you all know, I'm a grassroots socialist. I mean, you can tell that from the fair-minded way I hand round the after-dinner mint. Anyway, this alternative budget will remove any doubt.
And what'll you do if the alternative budget fails, Wedgie?
What any principled, idealistic, parliamentary socialist in my position would do.
What's that?
Keep my mouth shut.
And with the strains of Sleepy Lagoon, as listeners heard it when Alec Douglas Hume was last on Desert Island Disc, it is time to welcome to the program one of his two successors as leader of the Tory party.
Good afternoon, Mr. Plumley.
Good afternoon, Mr. Heath.
Thatcher, actually.
I'll kill these researchers now. Now, Mr. Thatcher, you know the situation. You're marooned on a desert island. You're allowed just 8 records to while away the long, lonely days. Now, first, let me ask you, could you stand this loneliness?
Well, I've often wondered what it must be like to be a liberal. But I must say I was very excited to learn that the island is completely uninhibited.
No, you mean uninhabited?
Oh, oh dear.
Well, let's have record number, 1.
Well, it's not a piece of music. It's a speech by Neville Chamberlain.
Yes, well, we did find it, and although it's not one of his best-known ones, and I must warn you, it's a very old 78, and it does tend to stick.
All I see in the future is war, and this is the lull before the storm. Are we ready? When I look on the banks of the Serpentine, and I see the sunbathers and the picnickers, I say no. No, we are far from ready. Germany is building up arms in ever-increasing quantities, which gives me little with which to cheer up my family, and even less to cheer up yours.
Well, there we are. Now, let's find out something about you. You are the daughter of a grocer, aren't you?
Yes.
We were bright child?
I wasn't aware of it at the time. Although I do remember the other children called me Smarty Pants.
Because you were always giving the right answer.
No, it was something to do with where I used to keep my Smarties.
Were there any signs of the budding politician at this early stage in your life?
Well, yes, I do remember once cutting down my father's cherry tree. And when he asked if it was me, I said, Father, I cannot tell a lie. It was Harold Wilson. And then there was a school report which said Margaret is the sort of girl who might end up Prime Minister. 0 out of 10, improving.
Let's have the next record.
Well, it's one which reminds me very much of my early life. It's one of Uncle Alec's nursery rhymes.
Very well, well, there. Here it is.
Oh, the grand old Earl of Hume ignored the Tory whip, and with one wave of the old school tie won the Tory leadership. But they've changed the system now, and the leaders we now get are Edward Heath and Margaret Keith, so it's far from perfect yet.
Oh, thank you, Sir Alec. Now, did Sir Alec influence you?
Sir Alec was a good man. He would have made a model Prime Minister. Oh, if only we hadn't run out of blue.
Tell me, does music play an important part in your life?
Well, it used to, until I saw what it did to Edward Heath.
What sort of records did you buy?
Well, I'm really very baroque, so I can't really afford to buy any at all. Stick that in your pianola, Joseph Cooper.
What's your next record?
Well, I was wondering whether I ought to give Enoch Powell a plug.
His record?
No, his mouth. Instead, I've chosen one of my favorite Hal McMillan collections, Sing Along a Mac.
Well, off you go with your medley, Mr. McMillan.
1, 2, 3. I've got a lovely bunch of cocoa.
Didn't finish the line.
Nuts.
No, you didn't. Really?
What?
Look, just... Look, come with the next song.
Some enchanted evening. You may see a strangler.
Stranger. Just read, look.
Yes.
Just read what's written down.
What?
On the next song, go on.
Drink. Two eyes that are Bridget.
Right.
Big what?
No, eyes that are bright. Not Bridget.
Bridget.
Eyes that are bright. Look.
Oh, no.
Try the next one, and just read what's written down.
Yes. I'm Henry William. Henry William. I am.
Wait.
Oh.
Yes. What's that?
Henry William.
No. Henry. Look, here.
Yes.
Henry V. 111. Is 8.
Oh.
Not Bill. Not Bill. It's 8. Not Bill. Oh. Henry the Eighth, I am.
Oh.
Not Bill, I am.
Oh. Right? I do it again. Next one, right.
Yes, please.
Right. You say tomato, and I say tomato. You say potato. And I say potato. Potato. Tomato. Tomato.
All right, let's call the whole thing off. I'll give up.
So let's get back to our island. Now, would you be able to manage? Are you able to improvise and make something out of nothing?
Well, I managed at the Shadow Cabinet, didn't I? But seriously, though, I'd be able to knock out a little shack and a lean-to privy.
You're allowed to have one book with you.
Yes.
With the exception of large encyclopedias, the Shakespeare or the Bible.
Oh, I wouldn't want Harold Wilson's memoirs in any case. No, I would like Edward Heath's travel book.
Why that book?
To hang in my lean-to privy.
But let's go on to your last record.
Well, though I say to myself, it is one of my favorites, and it's our own Tory party fundraising record, and it's called Maggie's Discotheque.
She was there, the first to take the floor. She danced and circulated like an old revolving door. Dip into your pocket, write her out a check. We're raising our election funds at Maggie's Discotheque.
Sir Alec did the cabaret. He lifted up his vest,
not all,
and took a pair of hammers and played chopsticks on his chest. And Geoffrey Howe, yes, he was there, and much to his surprise, he fell in the tombola and became the booby prize.
And Michael Heseltine was there, but found it all a strain. He tried to let his hair down, but it sprang right back again. Enoch Powell, he turned up with brush and pail in hand, and all through the calypsos he was whitewashing the band.
Old Red Prentice, he was there while wine and spirits flowed, but then he left to join a better party up the road. And Sally Oppenheimer dressed to put us all to shame, except Norman St. John Fevers, who was dressed up much the same.
And there is Willie Whitelaw stuffing onions from a pot, which probably explains why he repeats himself a lot.
And the Liberal Party, they were there, arriving late from town.
Maggie had invited them to keep the numbers down. And Edward Heath, yes, he was there, searching all about. He was gate-crashing the party and was trying to get out.
So dip into your pocket and write us out a check. We're raising our election funds at Maggie's Discotheque.
Thank you so much.
That was the News Hotline, starring Roy Hodge with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet. The script was written by Peter Spence, Andy Hamilton, and Laurie Rowley. Additional lines by John Langdon, Gerald Barlow, Charles Bieber, John Peet, Keith Rawnsley, Peter Long, Dan Wooten, Philip Campbell, Myron Edwards, Kenneth Rock, Peter Hickey, Rex McDonald, John Walker,
and all their families, fiancés, and gurus who've been let into the country by our producer,
John Lloyd.